Glad to be able to continue in this series, and really grateful for last week and last Sunday. And we're in week four of our Unshakable series. How well does it fit in the time right now, right? Things are still going to keep shaking. They'll always shake in this world. Our culture, our surroundings, people's expectations of us, everything except for the kingdom of God could be shaken at any moment, but not the kingdom of God. Our series verse is out of Hebrews 12:28, where it says, "Therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken." How many of you agree with that? Amen? Since we're receiving, it's something that exists, that belongs, that's made and come long before us, and has been unshakable all of this time, and there's opportunity for us to receive that unshakable kingdom, that kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us then be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and with awe. There's been something that's been happening with our youth and our young people, and before I head into this week and start talking about some barriers to our life, some barriers that exist in our life, one in particular that hinders the kingdom of God from being a part of our life and having its full, unshakable effect on us, I just want to take a moment to share with you, because many of you aren't here on Wednesday nights. Some of you are here for small groups, for these unshakable small groups, and for some of the other small groups that are happening. But this is a busy place on Wednesday nights. This last Wednesday night, there were 31 middle school students here. 31 middle school students, and there were 40 high school students here for youth group. Some weeks there's been 40 in each, 80 young people here who are learning about the unshakable kingdom of God. How awesome is that? It is awesome. I want my kids to start with that foundation we're singing about. The firm foundation of Jesus Christ. I want my kids to get that, not just to hear it, to understand it, to experience it, to live it in their own lives. And it's important for them to be in community, to live the kingdom of God with others and not feel like they're isolated. I remember being in middle school, especially myself, just feeling like I'm alone in this faith thing. I don't know other kids at school who are trying to live out this thing, who are trying to open their Bible and read it and understand it. Mine was a King James version then. And I was trying to understand it. But the King James didn't deter me. I had to just keep opening up, and what I got is what I got. And it was good for that day. Through middle school and through high school, and little did I know the kingdom of God was a lot bigger than I thought or that I experienced. It was a lot bigger. And there's even more young people in our city, in our community, more than 80 young people, more than 40 middle schoolers, more than 40 high schoolers who are trying to live out this faith in Jesus Christ, who are trying to live out purity, who are trying to live out generosity, who are trying to live out forgiveness, who are trying to rewrite their family's destiny and their own future, who are trying to believe for their family and the kingdom of God to be real and unshakable in their own life. Young people, I want you to hear something this morning. I know there's not 80 of you here this morning, but you are important to us. You are important to us. Your future matters to us, and it matters to the kingdom of God. And we're grateful that you come here on a Wednesday night to worship, to praise God, to pray together, to jump into the Word together, to meet in small groups with other small group leaders here at Mount Helena. But I'm also grateful for the small group leaders, for the other people who come and make opportunity for those young people to come here on Wednesday nights and to share the kingdom of God together. Taylor and Heather Thornis, I know Taylor's not here, but Heather is over here. Heather, would you stand? Jonas and Amy Canny, I want to recognize you as well. Would you stand, Jonas and Amy? Tiffany Robinson, wait just a second, there's a pile more. Tiffany Robinson, Holly Dahlke, would you stand? Ryan is back teaching in Children's Church again this Sunday, teaching our third, fourth, and fifth graders, and is also here on Wednesday nights with the middle schoolers. Russell Fruits, Russell's not here this morning, But Russell's here Wednesday nights. Jeremy and Joshua Barbagello, would you guys stand? Jess Johnson's back at the sound booth doing sound this morning as well. Ethan and Corin Canny, where are you, Ethan? Ethan and Corin was up here on worship this morning as well. Would you give these leaders a round of applause? How many of you would agree you would rather a young person come to know the truth and the reality and the unshakability of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God at a young age than at a later age? I know that thief on the cross had to be so grateful in his last day, in his last hour, in his last moment. But what a difference a young person can make when they make a commitment to live out the kingdom of God in their life at a young age. Amen. Thank you for celebrating them with me. On top of it, I encourage you, come this Wednesday night and hear God's heart. Hear the Father heart of God for these graduating six high school seniors who will be prayed and prophesied over this Wednesday night. And yeah, it's the heart of God for many of us as well, but glad to honor and celebrate them and recognize them. Here we are. While you're turning to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, that's where we're going to start this morning. I want to review just a little bit about the kingdom of God and what we've established in the previous weeks, really in the last 5 weeks with the two intro messages, and then the last 3 weeks, and now we're on week four. First, we established that Jesus is still on the throne, and so I really don't have to be anxious. I can look to Jesus as a higher source and as my Lord and my Savior, and I can turn to prayer and I can turn to God's word to deal with my anxiety and to establish and keep him established on his throne in my life. The next one is his kingdom is advancing. Even when I don't see it, I know he's working. Even when I don't see it, I know God is working, not in everybody else's life, but even specifically in my own life. When I don't see him, I know that he's moving. And that God is in control. That's something to know, but it's another to have a confidence in. A confidence that God is in control. That when everything else is shaking, I'm reminded that his kingdom is unshakable and truly cannot be shaken. And then last week, when we talked about last week, learning to resist being caught up in petty arguments and disagreements, and rather than trying to major in the minors, if we can just continue to major in the majors, we can find unity. And what God wants to produce in our life is a righteousness that doesn't come from me, but comes from him. And it being built in my life such that in a way I could have a peace that surpasses all understanding. And that I can have joy in the Holy Spirit no matter the circumstances. No matter our surroundings, I can have joy in the Holy Spirit. God wants to produce those things in my life. And I have to say, I don't know too many church-going people that would say, I can have enough of that stuff. Most of us want more righteousness established in our life. We want more peace. How many here could use more peace? I want more, and guess what? God has more. God has more peace for you. And he has more joy in the Holy Spirit for you and I both. This morning, I want to talk about just one of those barriers in our life. One of the barriers of the kingdom of God producing fruit and righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit in our life. Forgiveness opens up the kingdom of God in our lives, where unforgiveness closes off the kingdom of God in our life. Those things that we just reviewed from the last week, last few weeks, unforgiveness can surround and embrace and hold back and keep from permeating the kingdom of God in our life. What God really wants to do in our life and our surrounding spheres of influence can be limited by our unforgiveness. We're going to take a look at that this morning. I want to be someone who makes way for the kingdom of God in my life. Jesus said back then, and it's still the same today, the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is present. And I want to be someone who's receptive and who gives way and who makes way, who's absorbent to the kingdom of God. But before I go any further, I want to say a few things. I want to recognize there's a great deal of pain represented just in this room. There's a great deal of injustice that has been done to those of us here in this room. There's evil. There are schemes and traps of the enemy that have set up every single one of us in this room. And I want to acknowledge that. I don't want to talk about forgiveness and unforgiveness and the barrier that unforgiveness can be as if it's just a simple Sunday school classroom answer. It's complicated, but so is unforgiveness. And so we're going to take a moment to just focus on unforgiveness this morning. After years of doing this, being on staff today, actually 23 years here at Mount Helena Community Church, I do realize some things. I realize that people hurt people. I realize that hurt people hurt people. I realize there's a complexity after sitting with people, after hearing people, after listening to people, after seeing some things and seeing the leftovers of some people's hurt hurting other people. I realize unforgiveness is not easy, and forgiveness is even more complicated. I also realize no matter how long you've been in Christ, no matter how well you know the Bible, how many of you know unforgiveness can come your way in an instant, in a moment. Fantastic that we've got Christ as a young person. You're not inoculated to the poison, the depth, the hurt of hurt people hurting people, are you? The word scandalon is used 4 times in Scripture, and it's related to offense. Its most basic word is trap. On its more complicated end, it's the bait stick that's in a trap, the word scandalon. And it's referred to relationally in the Bible, and how relationships can be a trap of offense and unforgiveness in our life. I'm not proud of this story. I think Adele is listening online to me this morning. I give her a heads up. I'm going to share the story. But I remember a trap story. Adele and I going to Ace, Rockhand Ace Hardware. How many have been there before? You might recognize this same barrel. We're walking down the aisle and there's a barrel at one of the end caps, and it's full of mouse traps. And Adela, I see her eyes, like many little third graders at that point, her eyes go to that barrel, and she walks up to it, and this is not one of my most proud dad moments or dad stories, okay? But she walks up to that barrel, and I put my hands in the barrel like it's a barrel of Legos. Yeah. Thinking all of these traps are safe and fine. And Adela asks, Daddy, can I put my hand in it? Can I pick up one? And I'm like, sure, honey, they're fine. She picks up a mouse trap, and what happens? It snaps right on her hand, and I feel about this big. Her tears well up. She looks at me and all this big trust that she had, and this comes out of her mouth. Who would do that? She holds in tears. We get out to the truck. She gets into the truck with me, and she still has the same question. Who would do that, Dad? Who would set a mouse trap in the store in a barrel of traps? Who would set that knowing that it's there to trap somebody? It's not there set to trap a mouse. It has no bait on it. I promise you, whoever did that was not thinking of my third grade little girl or me as a father and the horrible moment I could be displaying. But the enemy works similar. He doesn't really care. He sets traps to trap people. He sets bait sticks to trap people in relational offenses, to limit the kingdom of God in our life. He doesn't really care if it's a third grader or a 30-year-old or an 83-year-old. He intentionally sets traps to trap people in relational offense that it would limit the kingdom of God in our lives and the spheres that surround our lives. It's actually more like this. The enemy's out to trap you. The enemy is out to trap you relationally, to offend your heart, to stop you up and to stop up the advancement of the kingdom of God, because he knows more than anything, more than any of us know, he knows the kingdom of God is made to advance and that it is advancing. And if he can trap you in that trap with that bait stick, with that scandal on, then he's going to. The bait stick of offense. Paul says it this way in Colossians 1, chapter 13. Whew, thankful to finally get there, Jason. My finger's going numb. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. I love that. I love that. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Listen, we don't gradually get there. No one's gradually getting to the kingdom of God. You're not going to be informed enough to receive the kingdom of God one day. You're not going to be able to study enough. You're not going to be able to learn enough. You're not going to be able to go to church enough. You're not going to be able to be good enough. Paul says it's a rescue mission. Quietness. How many feel rescued? I feel rescued. On my best day, I needed Jesus Christ to rescue me. If you think you or maybe some of your friends are the next best candidates for the kingdom of God, then you're misunderstanding the kingdom of God and the rescue mission that Jesus was on. It's a transformation process. It's a work of forgiveness. It's a work of moving away from the things I identify with that I hold so tightly to, that I cling to. My beliefs, my ideologies, my tribe, my upbringing, my church experiences, my church hurt. There's church hurt, right? But I can't process through all of those things enough to not need to be rescued by Jesus Christ, and I'm thankful for that. That he's out on a rescue mission to save me from my sins and further establish the kingdom of God in my life. It's like we're translated from what Paul calls a dominion of darkness. I think Jesus would agree 100%. How about you? A dominion of darkness. The world's dark, and Jesus is not surprised, and Paul's conveying it. It takes a redemptive work for the forgiveness of God to remove our sins and to initiate. That's how the kingdom of God is started in our life, by us receiving the forgiveness that Jesus died for, that he paid the price for. Not so we can be a part of a club or a church or some missions organization, so we can be a part of the kingdom of his Son, whom he loves, who he loves, and establish not just church in our life, not something to do on a Sunday morning, but the whole kingdom in our whole life, the whole kingdom of God. And I want the kingdom to permeate my life. The kingdom's meant to come down on earth into a person, into us, but it's meant to permeate and to change our home. There's so many times in scripture that so-and-so came to the Lord, and so did their whole family. The kingdom of God was initiated in their life, and it's meant to permeate the home, to change the home. But it's also meant to permeate, the kingdom of God's meant in my life to permeate and get in the lives of my friends and my family. My family matters to God. I believe it. My friends matter to God. I believe it. I don't want them all to already have the kingdom of God. I want it to be shared, deposited, permeated into their lives. And my workplace is not some secret hands-off God place either. Your business is meant to establish the kingdom of God here on earth. But unforgiveness can block it. Unforgiveness, harboring hurt and harboring offense and bitterness and resentment, blocks the fullness of the kingdom of God in our life. I needed Jesus' rescue mission in my life at a young age, and I still need God's rescue mission in my life. I still need God's forgiveness. I still need his kingdom established. I still need to be watching out for the trap the enemy is trying to set in Ace Hardware. It's just a representation, but in all of those places, the enemy wants to work through offense relationally in our life. In whom we have redemption. What is that word? What's the word redemption? It's a buyback. It's a paying in full. Jesus redeemed us through the price that he paid, through the life that he gave, and the life that resurrected in Jesus that he imparts, that he puts in each one of us. That's the work of the kingdom of God. That's what it is to enter the kingdom of God. But his work is greater than that. I want the kingdom to permeate my family and my home, my friends, my workplace. I want my college kids to not go to church on a Sunday feeling like that's what mom and dad wanted them to. I want them to feel like if nobody's going with me, I'm still going by myself. Because God's that alive in my life. I'm that desperate for him. I'm that dependent upon him. How does the kingdom require us to respond? Colossians 3:13 says this, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Wow, Lord, really? Yep. It's the kingdom. It's the kingdom. It's not our nature. It goes against the world. It goes against our nature. But for the believer, there's no other option but to forgive. Your revelation of how much you've been forgiven impacts your ability to forgive others. Just turning the dial up a little bit more as we go, right? Your revelation of how much you've been forgiven impacts your ability to forgive. Forgiveness is counterintuitive. That's part of the point. I have to accept that it may not feel good initially. It may not seem natural, but it's the kingdom. It's what's been done to me. My wrongs against God, my sin, my separation that I created, that Jesus Christ chose to step over and to bridge the gap, to fill the hole, to invite me in. To invite me into his kingdom, to invite me to his forgiveness for me. It takes me back to Genesis. And in the beginning, God created and he created and he created and he got to the point of creating man who reflected his image. And I think one of the most powerful things is not our looks, not our personalities. It's the power that God forgave you and I to put the power, the ability, the strength of God in us that we would be able to forgive. It's not like us. It's not our nature. It's counterintuitive. But it is the kingdom. One of the most pointed teachings on forgiveness is told by Jesus. It's a parable in Matthew chapter 18, and I'm just going to paraphrase it, but Jesus is asked the question, how many times do I need to forgive my brother? How about seven? And Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like. He says the kingdom of God is like a king who wanted to settle his debts with his servants. And as he went through his accounts, a particular man came up who owed him, I'm going to say billions. I think the NIV, I think, says 10,000 bags of gold. A lot. Billions and billions. And I think Jesus chose the exaggeration to make the point. And as the king wanted to settle accounts with him, it was obvious that he couldn't settle those accounts. And so he was going to have his wife and his children imprisoned as well as him until the accounts could be paid off, which we all know 10,000 bags of gold at that time could not be paid off by anybody, especially in prison. And the king heard the servant beg for mercy and beg for forgiveness. And in the story, the king decided to forgive him and to erase his debts and to set him free instead, and he had mercy on him. But then he was released, and while he was out and in release, he went to his servants, and he reviewed his accounts, and one of those servants who didn't have the ability to pay either only owed him some silver coins, so say some hundreds, maybe some thousands. As I looked it up, it was a day's wage. A day's wage. And he only owed him that, but he had no way to pay. And he decided to not just imprison him, but to torture him. To torture him. And the other servants didn't like it so much that they went to their lord and told him of it. And he took him in and he said, now wait, if I did this for you, how complicated is it that you couldn't do it for those who owed you? Anybody hurting? No, really, when you think of it in practical ways, the people that I haven't forgiven, it stings and it hurts. But Jesus isn't, at the end, I love the way he says it at the end. He brings up the heart, because it's not really about the number of times, it's about the heart. And he tells the story to say, we have to be forgiving from the heart. It's not the number of times, it's not the process or the procedure, it's about the heart. There's a lot of houses. Some of us live in them that are filled with offenses or filled with unforgiveness or filled with bitterness. And Jesus is announcing the kingdom of God and saying the kingdom of God is here and it's like this. And it is a little ouchy. It is unnatural. It is unconventional, but it is the kingdom of God. I like some of the ways you've probably heard these, seen these memes or one way or another. I don't know who gets credit for them. They've been used so many times anymore, but one of them says, choosing not to forgive is drinking poison yourself, expecting the other person to get sick. That's a picture of what unforgiveness and holding to unforgiveness and bitterness is like. Another one says, forgiveness is releasing the other person to discover you were actually the captive being held in bondage. That when you made the decision, when you chose to forgive, you set yourself free when you intended to set the other person free and you didn't realize you were holding yourself captive and in bondage with your choosing to withhold forgiveness. How does forgiveness impact our relationships? That's the question that we're answering this morning. How does the kingdom of God and this concept of forgiveness impact our relationships? Number one, God's forgiveness for you unlocks the kingdom. It unlocks the kingdom here on earth. It unlocks the kingdom in your life. It unlocks the kingdom in the spheres that your life touches and impacts, the relationships that you have. Without forgiveness, we can't have a relationship with God, but for too many people, forgiveness from God is enough. And the point of Jesus's parable is it's not enough. The kingdom of God is much bigger than just you. It's much bigger than just you, and what he wants to impact with your life and by him forgiving you is much bigger. is meant to go much further out. The world's advice is that you just need to forgive yourself. I want to tell you, you cannot forgive yourself without receiving forgiveness for yourself first. The work of removing bitterness and resentment, the work of healing old, years, decades old wounds from our lives takes the forgiveness of God first, and it has to be received before it can be given. It has to be received, and God's word says that he freely gives it. He gives it freely to those who ask. We can't get rid of the toxicity of our own soul without the work of forgiveness of God in our life. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus basically makes the statement, well, you don't know her story. Kind of a Paul Harvey rest of story segment here. There's a woman in the story who makes an extravagant offering to Jesus, and people are a little pricked and a little bothered by it. Who is this lady? How can she be worshiping like this? Don't they know what this is worth? What is she doing? People around her may have been like, hey, calm down, chill out. Why are you making such a big deal? Some people get excited about too many young people being up at the front or kneeling and wondering if it's too much emotionalism. This lady could have been accused of too much emotionalism. And Jesus in Luke chapter 7 is saying, well, you don't really know her story. Here's the verse that he does say. He says, for this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. Wow. Wow. What an appreciation. What a depth. What an in-touch feeling and moment of what Jesus had done for her. And she couldn't hold it back. She was expressing it while others were wondering, just how crazy is she going to get? We struggle with forgiveness when we fail to understand how much God has forgiven us. Recently, I've gone through something myself in my own personal life. I'm human too. I have a family. I have friends. I know I'm at church, but for my workplace, but church is made of people. And recently in my life, I'm really grateful for God's forgiveness again in my own life. I'm grateful for a work of God in my own family of forgiveness. It's not just my family that's the problem. I have a family, and some of them I cause problems with. And I need forgiveness. I need to be able to set others free, but I need to be set free myself by forgiving, by offering forgiveness, but by also receiving forgiveness. Some families don't make it through forgiveness to the point of forgiveness. Some relationships don't, because really the work of the enemy, the scandalon of the enemy. Number two, we all need to genuinely forgive others. Not only that, we all need help to genuinely forgive others. I thank you, Jesus, that you help me. You give example. You give me parables. You give me stories. You give me truth that the world can't give me. You give me the utmost example. Your generosity in terms of forgiveness in my life is enormous. And yet, God, you say, I put this power of forgiveness in you for you to yield as well, for you to be so much like me that you can forgive. I want to talk for just a moment what forgiveness is not before we talk about what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is not approval of wrongdoing in our life. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about being okay with something that's happened to you. We're not talking about being okay about hurt people hurting and continuing to hurt you or others. Forgiveness is not an invitation to abuse. Something the other person has earned or deserved is not forgiveness. Forgiveness is not something the other person has earned or deserves. Forgiveness is not dependent on reconciliation. Forgiveness and reconciliation and redemption are different. Forgiveness is that trap that I was describing earlier that's set for you. Forgiveness is not setting a trap for the other person, although many people set the trap. Forgiveness is one of the best definitions I can find is this. Forgiveness is the conscious choice to give up your right to make the other person pay because you're choosing to trust God to make things right. There's a freedom in that. There's a freedom of making the conscious choice to give up my right to do you wrong because of the wrong you've done me. That's a trap. That's a trap. It's a trap to hold on to it, to hold on to the damage that it has caused in me, hoping that it is causing damage in that other person's life. I have those relationships. I have some of those examples in my life. And I'm betting you do as well. But that's not the forgiveness we're talking about. We're talking about you giving up those rights. No matter how much the world tells you that's right, it's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is to trust God, to let go of it and the damage that is causing in your life, and to cling to the one who can make it right. To cling to the one who works all things to the good of those who are loved and called according to God's purposes. For God's purposes, for the kingdom to come down and to permeate your heart and your life and to do a work, a kingdom work, of forgiveness in your life. More than just your sins against God, but dealing with the things that corrupt my relationship, that pollute, that hinder my relationship with God and his move in my life. I want to invite you as we close, would you just stand with me? There's two opportunities. How many know with the kingdom of God, there's always opportunity? There's always opportunity. Listen, I want to help lead you in something as we close, but if now's not the time, I get it. I'm telling you, there's always opportunity, but I'm telling you with the kingdom of God, there's always opportunity today. There's always opportunity today to invite the kingdom of God into your life. There's opportunity today to make room for the kingdom of God in your life. Today is a great day to get rid of unforgiveness. But I understand if today is not the day, if this is hitting you too much, it brings up some painful thoughts, I want to encourage you to keep going to God. Go to God. There's other people here, myself, staff, elders. I'm betting you know somebody in this room who would love to have a conversation with you, who would love to listen to you, who'd love to hear from you on some of the things that may be holding up the kingdom of God in your life. But first of all, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ into your life, if you haven't given him invitation, if you haven't received his forgiveness in your life, I want to tell you that's where the kingdom of God starts. There's no other starting place with the kingdom of God or with a relationship with God. There's no other place to start with forgiveness, with kingdom forgiveness in your life than receiving forgiveness from Jesus Christ. I want to take a moment to pray together. The second one will be just praying and releasing forgiveness, releasing your own trap. Releasing the trap that's clamped down on you that you've been okay with that maybe you're not okay with anymore. Maybe you're done and you want it to be set free. And reconciliation, redemption, Restoration of a relationship can be for another day, but today the trap could come free. You could walk away from the trap out of that bin that someone set to catch someone in some offense, in some hurt, in some wrong. Jesus, we come to you this morning, and God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, you are the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through you. You're the only one. You are the way. God, I pray in Jesus' name, anybody in this room who's ready to receive your forgiveness for the first time in their life, I pray that, God, you would lead them now in Jesus' name to repent and to turn from their sins, God, to receive your kingdom. If that's you, you can just pray with me. Jesus, I receive your forgiveness. I receive your payment for my sins, and I receive your kingdom in Jesus' name. Thank you for loving me, and thank you for setting me free. I receive your forgiveness now in Jesus' name. But Jesus, I also love and I trust you, and I choose to forgive those who've done me wrong. I choose to forgive those hurt people who have hurt me. And I release the pain and I release the offense and I give it to you. I will not continue to carry it or to drag the trap any further. Thank you for your freedom, Lord. What happened to me doesn't define me, and it will not determine my future, according to the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you received Jesus Christ, if you prayed that first prayer, I want to encourage you to visit with someone else here today. The prayer team's here available. If there's something that you're thinking of in particular that you would like other people to pray with you over, the prayer team's available here, and they would love the opportunity to pray with you. Last week, a number of people prayed and stayed. I think the last man stayed an hour after service because he wanted